Good to go. Excellent. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And we are season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the previous seasons. I'm sure there's some episodes there or topics and subjects that may resonate with you and kind of more in tune with the realities you're going through right now. So I do invite you to have a look at those episodes. And today I have a great guest. I am so happy that she is joining me today. We got to share the stage at Speaker Slam just a couple of weeks ago, and it already feels like a lifetime ago. But with a person with a great heart and just a wonderful, inspiring story. So I have the lovely Patty Bellavacqua with me today. And I'm just going to put the spotlight right on you. Thank you so much, Patty, for joining me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And my tag saying is woohoo. So woohoo, here we go. Let's do this.
I love that. I absolutely love it. Before we dive into your story, can you kind of tell us a little bit? Well, actually, what you do. Can you kind of talk to us about a bit about your story and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. I live in Grand Forks, British Columbia. And grew up in a very small town, went to university to become a high school physical education teacher. That was my big dream. I had a great PE teacher when I was in high school, and I wanted to be exactly like her. So everything was going along great. I landed a job, the first one in my teaching cohort. And before the end of my first year of teaching PE, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. That was a curveball I didn't see coming. So I left teaching, then got another job teaching in the classroom, and my heart was not there. So I went back to school and earned a PhD with hopes of teaching people to become PE teachers. And that didn't pan out either. And it was the no's one after another, over and over again. And it just became too much. And so I just sat still for about 10 years and figured that this was going to be how it was for me. And then one day just said, you know what? There's more to life, and I'm bigger than this. And I just decided to open my heart, my brain. And now, when I look at everything that I've been a part of since leaving education, I don't think I would go back for anything. Yeah.
And that's what I appreciate about your story is you stay real about it and say, it's not easy when you're have a your mind set on a certain path, and
Very much
all of a sudden it's nope, that's not this way. But you're determined to do it. But then again, nope, it's not going to happen. We did have a chance to talk before we recorded when we were talking before, and you had mentioned that for you there was never a thought that you could change your path. Your life, but you just have that in mind, but didn't realize that there were other options. So can you kind of walk us through that? Because it's so true that we kind of have something in mind and that's where we're going. But what happens, to keep those op other op options open as well?
Absolutely. I was born, my dad was a coal miner, and he started when he was 13 and he left when he was 58. And it was in the days when you got a job and you stayed in that job until you retired. And that was my plan. And when it didn't work out, I felt like I failed. I did something wrong. I wasn't good enough. And nowadays, people have, online jobs and three or four careers, and definitely wasn't the way it was for me and for lots of people. You made a choice and you were in that position. Maybe you climbed the ranks. Maybe I would become a counselor or a principal or something, but I would be in a school somewhere. And when it didn't turn out to be that way, I didn't have the skills or the resources to go easy on myself. And it took a long time to figure that out. And the worst person in this whole situation was myself, right? I was a high achiever, a goal setter, everything fell into my lap. What do you mean? Like, first, I didn't know what MS was. And then when I realized what it was, I'm like, a phys ed teacher gets a disease that affects your muscles. Are you kidding me? Right? How about let's try something else? But it wasn't the case. So now when I look back and when I meet people, and it doesn't matter what the challenge is, the learnings and the significance that I found and the power of sharing stories and experiences, it's across the board. So whether you're a mom or a dad or a child or an adolescent, you know what? It's okay to go forward three steps and back one. And lots of great things happen when you detour. And so that's my mission. It's okay to take a detour.
I like that a lot. Great things can happen when you take a detour. I like that. We really do need to change our mindset to about it's not a setback, it's just the scenic route.
It
Then
really
you might,
is. It really is. I never thought about, public speaking, or I mean, I did it every day in the classroom, right? It was just who I was, or going on a podcast. What's a podcast? And, learning all these applications and skills. I was really good at teaching and I loved it. But it was, a good job for me because I knew what to expect. Dealing with MS threw a wrench into that, and I had never had that ever before. So when we talked and you mentioned parenting, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, parenting is like living with a chronic illness. You never really know what's around the corner, right?
That's right. There's a lot of unpredictability, and when you think you have it figured out, something happens. And we could definitely go into more details about that. Before we get into the parenting, though, I think I'm gonna kind of sidetrack a little bit and talk about the teaching, because you just mentioned it, that you were great at teaching and creating these moments with the students where you could share these stories, because it's storytelling is such an important part of learning. So can you share a little bit with us the experiences that you had to live through in those amid the challenges that you were going through? You kind of say the how did it impact the way you interacted with the students?
Sure. I wasn't a natural athlete. I had a big heart and I had the biggest pom-poms. I was a cheerleader and I played on every team. I didn't really get a lot of court time, but my relationship with my teachers was huge, and I figured if it served me well, I'm gonna make that a big part of my job. And if I had 500 friends on Facebook, 429 of them are former students, because I really nourished that. I told stories all the time about growing up in a little town and going to university, and shared a lot of life's lessons through my experiences. And then that came full circle as it was learning to navigate a change in career, a change in health. And I'm very grateful. I was only sick really badly once, and I've never been hospitalized, but I took a year off, and that gave me a lot of time to sort things out. and get off the train of I've done something wrong. And so I had to listen to what I was saying to others and revisit my stories of growing up and being a good person and doing well in school and having goals and having people be proud of me, but to be proud of myself as well. And, I wasn't used to that. I really wasn't, but the learning curve when something else makes the choice, Danielle, I'll never forget the very last question I was asked in my thesis defense. The lady said, "You said you were going to teach PE until you were 58. I don't know any 58-year-old PE teachers, really." I said, "Well, I don't know, but it should have been my choice, not the disease." And there's a lot of currency in that statement, right?
Yeah, quite a lot. And this is where that's the journey that's involved here is that it wasn't because you had made some bad choices in your life, or you have to move, or budget cuts or anything like that. This is something where you really didn't have a choice, and there was no
No.
way around it. This is
No.
it. This is what it is. So the fact that you're able to turn around from that and share that, with we've mentioned about that, especially with students, is students don't remember what you actually taught them curriculum-wise. It's how you made them feel in class. So coming in from an authentic, real, sometimes vulnerable place, I find the same thing for me. All the teachers that I remember were like that. They really made school real. It wasn't about curriculum, it was about the connection. And
No.
that makes a huge difference for students to want to learn more.
It really does. And whenever I go back home, I always go and see Carol. And I mean, it took me even a long time to be able to call her Carol. She was always Mrs. Panic. And she kept saying to me, "Patty, we're colleagues now." And I'm like, "Oh, call my teacher by her first name? Absolutely not." The other real big thing for me was my parents felt like they had done something wrong. And, to say to them, "I love you guys, but this has nothing to do with you." And I'm saying that in a great way. You didn't do anything wrong.
That's it. That's
And,
powerful too, because his parents do kind of put everything on themselves if something wrong happens too. Before we get
absolutely.
into the parenting side, there's a side note that you just mentioned because you still visit your teacher. Just recently, I met one of my old French teachers from high school at a cafe, and in French, as a sign of respect, we say vous instead of je or tu. So
Yes.
it's like a more respectful level of you, and I still use the vous with her. And
Okay.
this is, I don't want to date myself there, but I graduated high school like 35 years ago. And so she was like, "You can say two, right?" And I said, "I can't. Like, even if I wanted to, it's not in my DNA. I can never cross that over to the familiar." So she
Yeah.
laughed, but it was just funny that it was just
Yeah.
like you say, it's so hard to call them by their first name or to, it does.
It is. And I remember, after I left teaching and having a student call the house and ask to speak to Mr. Dunning, my husband. But he said, "Hey, Patty, it's Phil. Is Mr. Dunning around?" And I'm like, "Back up. No, it's Miss Bevilacqua. Who gave you permission to call me Patty, right?" But oh well.
That's funny. I get that too, because I'm in the second generation. So the children that I was teaching, I'm now teaching their children. So we have these conversations often where it's just weird now, and things have changed. So we don't call teachers Madame or Monsieur anymore. We actually call them by their first names. So they grew up calling me Madame, and now their kids are calling me my first name, and they're just like, "This is so wrong." I'm like, "That's okay."
Yeah.
It's okay, it's
Chicago.
different.
Chicago.
I'd like to, let's jump right in with the parenting side of things, because we mentioned that off camera as well, that everything that the kind of the skills or the coping skills that we, or the mindset that we've reached when we go through some challenging times, is transferable to any kind of life situation or any aspects of life. So from your experience dealing with that and sharing your story, and like you mentioned earlier, that you think you have an idea of how you're going to parent, but life just throws it at you. And we can even take it further and say you have a child who is struggling as well. What would be your advice that you'd like to share with parents about how to support your child and how to navigate and support yourself through the whole process of
Absolutely.
parenting?
I think the big thing was, a roller coaster was always something that we went and visited in the summer when the circus came to town.
Oh,
And
yes.
holy moly, all of a sudden it was my life. My life was a roller coaster. And along the way, through the high points and the low points and the sharp curves, and just to be gentle with yourself and give yourself grace. There is no guidebook to live with a chronic illness, and there is no guidebook on, there's lots of books, but there's no foolproof manual on how to parent. And so, the roller coaster leads to this need for us to be respectful of ourselves and to be respectful of the term flexibility. And I had to learn to go, hang on, back up. And it's okay to back up. And I don't have to be on 100% of the time. And it's okay to let my students know that I was having a bad day. Does that apply to parents? Is it okay for parents to say, you know what? I'm sorry that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to be. I'm thinking, I don't recall, my parents backpedaling. They're always going full speed ahead all the time. But now we're in the year 2025, and we can't do that, and we can't do it for ourselves, and we can't do it for our kids. And I couldn't do it for myself, and I couldn't do it for my students. And the more that they saw me as real, Mom, the lady we saw at the pharmacy is the same lady who teaches me every Monday morning. She's the same person. Wow. For students to say that, what a neat thing for a child to say. This is my mom, this is my dad, and it's no special mask, or there's not an inside mom and an outside mom. I just think that whole notion of flexibility and being gentle with yourself is a great thing to model. And it works really well when I meet people with various chronic illnesses or other unseen challenges. It's not been easy for me, not at all. Has there been times when I've wanted to throw in the towel? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did it make me better? Most times. But is anything ever 100%? No, I don't think so. No.
And then you find sometimes as well, it was something that could have been working before. Now all of a sudden doesn't work, because it kind of is the same, especially with MS, because you get those plateaus and you think, okay, I got it. And then you get another spike. But for parenting, you think you got it figured out, and then you get a second child, and that child is the complete opposite of the first one. So, sometimes it's like, I give up. I'm like sleep deprived. I'm
I
tired. I'm in
know.
pain. And
I
it's
know.
just.
Like when I was teaching, something happened to girls when they went from grade 8 to grade 9. What happened? Was it me? It's life, right? It's what we do every single day. And so yeah, that flexibility I think is key. The other thing I thought about a lot is self-care. I tell people all the time, the most important relationship you'll ever have in your life is the one that you have with yourself.
So true.
So I need to take care of me before I can take care of others. And it
That's so true.
not easy, and we expect ourselves to be better than, sometimes we're able to be, and we need to remember it.
You made such an important point too that we are modeling, or if we're teaching them, like you said with your students, when you mentioned that you're not having a good day, it teaches them that it's okay when they're all performance oriented, especially at school, and the pressure that they could get from families as well, or friends, or everything else that goes on in a child's life. But it's the model to say it's okay sometimes to say I just don't have it in me today, or I'm going to need some help here. It's something that we weren't taught. You just have to bear it and walk it off. But when you can't walk it off, what do you do, right? So it's
Exactly. And growing up in the 70s and going to university in the 80s, there's such huge changes in our society and what our world looks like and what schools look like and what parenting looks like and relationships look like. And change is good, but you still have ownership. You are still the one who makes the choices,
That's right.
and we do the best we can with what we have, right?
At that moment too,
At
we
that
do.
moment, absolutely. That's it. An important point to add to that sentence.
Because what I was able to do yesterday, I may not have it in me tomorrow. So it's what the best you can do with what you have at that moment. I think that's so important to teach our children too, to say, yeah, you had a great day yesterday, you were on fire, you're getting everything done, and today is just going to be a rest day, and that's okay. Let's just brush our teeth today.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
and take it from there. I really, yeah, you're giving us some gold there. So you had give yourself grace, self-care, and I think you had mentioned yet a couple more as well that for parenting.
The importance of building a routine.
That's so
And
important.
for me, it's in significant points in my day. So as the day wears on, the routine becomes more and more important. Even though up here it says, oh, no, you got this, keep going, keep going. And my body is saying, no. In the afternoons, Patty, you like to curl up with a book and read, or put on the Golden Girls and watch reruns until I'm laughing so hard that I can't even speak. But the routine is key, and I think not only for myself as a teacher, but for my students as well. And so I'm thinking for parents and for their children as well. The best surprise sometimes is no surprise, right?
That's right. That's right. Those are good things as well. I like that. The routine is important. It doesn't have to be rigid, but that you have something, a reference point, so you do have some kind of control in a sense.
Exactly. And that's a really great word, is having those touch points or things that you could, feel like I've been here before and I've done it. And so it's familiar, and that's great for me, but it's also great for the other person to know that it's not going to be just, throwing painting against a wall and hoping it looks good, but that, there's been some thought and some planning that goes on. And I think, good parts of our life happen when we're prepared and when we plan. It's just when the curveball is thrown at us, if you don't hit it out of the park, you're still a really good person.
Yeah, I know you.
Still a good mom or dad, you're still a good teacher, you're still a good student, you're still a good child, right?
Yeah, and when you do get a curveball, those moments of routine are your reference points to see where you're at once you're
Absolutely.
trying to get deviated and you're like, okay, I need to, this is will bring
Yeah.
me back to where I need to be. So, or to see if maybe you do need to change that routine because sometimes that routine is just not
Absolutely.
enough.
Absolutely. That's a really important point. Yeah.
And you were saying that flexibility, that's where it kind of falls into place is being able to adjust as well. So, yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. You see, do you have another point that you wanted to share with us?
My last one is just I mentioned it before, and that is just, it's okay to let go, don't let yesterday take up too much time today. The past is the past, and we learn through experiences, but we don't need to beat ourselves up. And I've been around, those bases. I've been hard on myself because I was not able to just let things go. It took me a long time to let go of. I always started with, yeah, I was a high school PE teacher and I was going to teach forever. And then I got MS. And after about 12 years of that, somebody said to me, don't you think it's time to change your story? And I thought, how dare you say that to me? You're right, but how dare you say that to me? But that's, sometimes the story that we tell ourselves, sometimes it doesn't serve us anymore. And to be aware of that, to let it go.
Yeah,
I tell
that's
people with MS, let it go because there's always tomorrow. And that's true of lots of things in our lives.
so true. So did many different scenarios. And it's kind of I've gone through situations where people have called me out on my stories, and you get that bittersweet moment where you're just like, I needed that, but I really don't like you for putting that in my face right now. Now I got to do something about it, and I don't like that. But yeah, it's those stories that we tell each other that do we stay victims or do we change the narrative? And that's not easy. That's not easy to do.
No. And when, for me, I was going to be the best forever. There was no other option. I was going to be the best forever. And I didn't really, it happened so fast, it just knocked me, it
You're still the best, just at something different than what you expected.
exactly, and it looks different, and that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah, you're
That's
still
okay.
the best at what you do. And
Yeah.
that's the one, the part that's hard to switch. We're still holding on to that
Absolutely.
ideal vision of us and where we're
Yeah.
going to be. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's so important to mention that because it'll be the same with as a parent, your children or even teachers. Students teach you humility for sure.
Absolutely.
They keep you humble.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, as you know, to stay real, but to also
Yeah, I remembered the first time I was going to be sarcastic. I was going to learn sarcasm. So I said to Frank Martin, would you start acting your age and not your shoe size? And he said, but they're both 13. And I went, oh, I guess I'm not meant to be sarcastic. Whoops, who knew? But right, I learned something about me.
Oh my goodness. What are the chances of that happening? Really?
Really,
Really?
exactly.
Out of all the options. Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, there's some harsh lessons there with our, the way we see things.
And you know what, Danielle, I think if lessons aren't learned in whatever capacity you are acting or wanting or trying to achieve, you're missing something. And not all lessons are The best, or I mean, some of them make you feel kind of lousy, but
Yeah.
then you're actually living life and not
Right.
pretending, right? And that was an important thing for me. Students knew, if I said yes to somebody over here, but that person I didn't like so much, so I said no, that was the worst thing I could have done,
Yeah.
is that all of a sudden now I'm not consistent and I can't
That's it.
trust it and I'm not honest. I mean, that's the mouse trap that, will cut my tail off. So
So true.
I just find, talking with you and talking with my sister and the parallels in life, it doesn't matter what that path is that you're on. There are many similarities, and I think the foundation is we're human beings, right?
That's it. That's it. That's where the focus needs to be, is the human side of things. And that kind of leads me into the next question before we start talking about your book and the work that you do, is what do you believe, seeing especially how the world has changed so much lately, what should we be focusing on more when we want to connect with our children or our students now? Do you have any
I would say being present in the moment. Another, I think, important one is, to say I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's so true.
I
That's
think
hard, though. It's a hard
it
thing
is,
to,
and it
yeah.
is for me,
Yeah.
to say that. I would equate with being less than. Oops, I made a mistake. I can't make a mistake, right?
That's right.
And what a great thing to model for my kids is when I said to Tess Roger, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry I embarrassed you in class. That was wrong of me." She then became my best ally in the classroom. Hey, Tom, stop giving her a hard time. Let her speak. She had my back all the time because I manned up and said, I'm sorry, that was wrong of me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing for all of us to hear, right? Is when somebody can admit that we weren't at our best. Sorry if I hurt you. Sorry if I let you down. Sorry if I, didn't give you enough money. Sorry if I was late picking you up. Sorry if I, I
Yeah.
think it makes us even more human.
It does. Yeah. And for kids or students to hear that, there's something they're not used to. So they
Yeah.
feel seen, they feel heard, and they feel like they matter because you do take their feelings and into consideration. So it is important to build that connection. Yeah.
As adults and as parents and as teachers and as people with careers, to be able to go back and if I could relive my youth again, what would I do differently? I would like to do that. I really like to sit down with myself and what would I do differently? Before, I used to say absolutely nothing. I wouldn't do anything different. Now I'm pretty sure I'd have some pretty key, significant moments in my life that I would like to change because of what I know now. And what
Yeah.
it is to give young people is, we're not perfect. We don't fit a mold. It's okay to lose your way. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Be your own best friend. Right.
Yes. Oh, that's so it. Instead of your worst critic. Yeah. That's what I really love about your insight is you mentioned at the beginning that, you're a high achiever, goal setter. Those are people that are just like on a mission, they're on a plan, and there's no looking back on that. So to be able to find that balance to say, yes, I have goals. Yes, I still want to be a high achiever, but I have really need to sit with myself and see if that's realistic for me in that moment. As I think it's good to see it in action. When you're saying you need to serve as a role model, so there's such a dichotomy in the goal setting, high achieving, but let's just give yourself grace and be flexible.
Right,
There's
the power
constant.
of pause, take a breath, slow down, enjoy the moment, because time is tick tick ticking, and enjoy
So,
being mom, enjoy being a dad, enjoy being a child.
that's it. Live in the moment. So important. Let's talk about your book. You have your book, your baby is coming out at the
Oh
end
my.
January, as of July 1st, I believe, right? On
Yeah,
Canada Day.
being
Can you
launched
talk about
on, yeah, it's being launched on Canada Day. It's called MS Doesn't Define Me, and it's my story, and I've been pretty vulnerable, and there's been moments when I'm like, did I really write that? Did I really say that? And it's a story. It's a story. It's not a manual. It's not an instruction manual of how to deal with life when you have a chronic illness, and specifically MS. Every chapter focuses on a different part of my life, and every chapter ends with points to reflect on that apply to the masses, and to think about things from a different perspective, and to be open to learning, to be open to. I've been getting a lot of mileage out of the word grace. I think I should own it maybe pretty soon because I say it all the time. But I've learned to do that in this book is there have been messy times, and I've been very honest, and some of the low points were pretty low. And I read one of the areas that I wrote about and actually started crying because it brought back emotions I hadn't felt for a very long time. But because I was writing about a past experience, it's really easy to put the blinders on and push it away, right? So it's like, oh, I haven't felt like this in a while. And that's when I realized that this is the real story. This is the real story of me.
Yeah, there's a healing process about writing the book. I was the same way when I was writing mine. There's, especially when I talk about how, there's certain, like you said, looking back, things you would have done differently, especially when it comes to raising children, where you kind of go back and say, eesh, I didn't handle that very gracefully. And yeah, those tears come up and you're thinking, oh man, I'm still not completely healed from that, but it is, that's when you know that is your story, because it's authentic.
It is the lady who I wanted to be just like. I was in my maybe the summer of after my first year at university, and she called me at my parents' house and asked me to come down. So I rode my bike down, and she said, "I have something to tell you, and I want you to hear it from me because there's going to be a lot of rumors." But her and her first husband were going to have get a divorce, and she was in another relationship, and I thought, this woman is so real, and she valued me and respected me, that she trusted me with that, right? And then, fast forward 20 years, and as a teacher and as a spouse, to be authentic and to be real and to own my mistakes and celebrate my wins, big or small. That is just life, right? We all just are living life, and we don't always see what's coming
That
ahead
is so true.
or what's coming up from the past. But yeah, this book is a real has been a real great way for me to look at the journey and share my experiences and hope that others, no matter what their journey looks like, that they might be able to find that I may have planted a seed somewhere along the way to give people some hope that, sometimes things are not so great, but doesn't mean that you're not great. It just means, you have to take things a little slower, do things differently, and that's life.
That's true. So
Yeah.
true. I can't wait to see it, because I got to see your storytelling style when we were up on stage. And so I can't wait to see that reflected in your book.
Thank
It's going to
you.
be wonderful. So at the end of it, we'll make sure that we give your information so people can have a look at it when it does come out so soon. It's so exciting. Besides the book, do you have anything coming up, any new projects or anything that you're thinking of working on, or you're just focusing on
I'm,
the
you
book?
know, for, yeah, for, it's been a while since I've enjoyed the summer, and we have good friends coming up from Oregon and a couple of brother-in-laws that are here on business that added extra days to their business trip so we can go fishing or do whatever. And so I'm just really enjoying my time, knowing that in September I will be in a better place to jump back in. So nothing on the burner right now, Danielle, other than just, yeah,
Just
hanging.
enjoying. I love that. We don't give ourselves that. That is such a gift to be able to say, when was the last time? I don't even remember the last time I had a summer to enjoy.
I know, right?
We over, especially, it's as a child and you start working and that's it. So I love that. I like that. It's just to
Yeah.
enjoy the summer. I love it.
Yeah, we have to be our own best friends because we need to be true to ourselves before we can help others find themselves as well. So,
Yeah, so important. I
yeah.
love that. Before we wrap up, I do ask this one question to all my guests, and I did prepare you for it, I think. I think I'm pretty sure I did, asking you what you want to be when you grow up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to be, there's a couple of things. One is I wanted to be a private eye. And that's because I've never, I'm a scaredy cat. I don't do well with uncertainty. And so I figured that if I got a job where uncertainty was important, then I would learn to deal with it more. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be a private eye next time and just look through the magnifying glass and be aware of everything that could potentially come my way. The other thing is, I want to be on Sesame Street.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And you know why?
Oh, I love that one.
Because I still sing all the time, like all these little, I sing to my dog every night, and I do like all these little nursery rhymes and things that I heard on Sesame Street. And I think, you know what? I am so prepared for this. I need to come back as Mr. Hooper's wife because I am so ready.
I love that. Oh yes, there's something magical about Sesame Street. And
Yeah.
I'm taking storytelling to the fun stuff. I love it.
Yes.
Oh.
And that would probably have been an even better thing for me to pick, and that is, just to live my life as a storyteller. That
I
would
love
probably
it.
be the ultimate.
I love it because I could take so many forms. But it's funny that you mentioned Sesame Street because I just over the weekend was introduced to a puppet, and that puppet has lived. Let's just say it's a little creepy looking, but I just fell in love with the puppet, and it just kind of brought out the child in me to say, this puppet needs some love. So it's, but yeah, it's just, I think it's innate in us that, the stories,
I think
the
so.
fables, the rhyming, the beats, this music, the singing, all of that. That's just who we are as human beings, I think. Yeah.
You know, all those shows, Mr. Dress Up and
Yes.
Captain Kangaroo, and, I don't even know if they exist anymore in a different form. I don't know. I think you and I are probably similar in age. That was they were the best things to grow up with, right?
They were. It's kind of a highlight of our childhood, I think. And
Yeah.
it's so funny because.
My ringtone on my cell phone is "See You's for Cookie" by the Cookie
Oh.
Monster.
That's my favorite song. My kids grew up on this. I had the CD at the time we had CDs, and I know that song entirely. That and the Elmo song, but yes, Cookie Monster is one of my favorites, and I love that. Oh yeah, and my kids are into it. They're used to it. They grew up with a mom like me, so. When I bought the puppet, my son, who's 25, just grabbed it and started. And I had forgotten that he had trained for ventriloquism because
Oh.
there was a comedian that did it, and he loved it. So he would actually practice. And so he picked up. We call him Mr. Spence. He picked up Mr. Spence and started talking. I'm like, wait a minute, you still have the skills. It's a lot of fun. So. I'm glad that all of the craziness that they have as a mother, they were able to keep their inner child going, and it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I love that. Oh, I'm so there. If you're gonna going, I'll be in the back of the cameras just cheering you on with that one. It would be so exciting.
Right on. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I really appreciate our time. I could keep you on forever, but before we go, how can people reach you? And I'll put that in the description so people can refer back. But if they want to learn more, if they want to learn about your book, see your journey, what's the best way to follow you or reach you?
Sure. On Instagram is probably the best, and it's all one word, and it's Fearless with MS. And that's the simplest. Bevilacqua is not easy to spell, but my book is linked to a website, pattybevilacqua.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure to put that all in the description so people can just copy and paste if they need to. So I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much, Patty, for joining me. And anytime, whenever you're ready, you can come back on. And I just really enjoyed everything. You've given us gold here with how we can kind of this, like I said, it's all transferable to whatever aspect of your life. And it's nice to get that kind of view of things.
And I wouldn't have been able to give you gold or plant seeds of hope without your help. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you so much. So I'm looking forward. I can't wait. I can't wait to read that book, and I'll make sure to post it for everybody to know when it's finally out and where to get it.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much. And for everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to go and follow Patty as well on Instagram. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.